The Jags need some serious help in the draft since their draft and develop team. I'll tell you some names in just a second here on Locked On Jaguars.
You are Locked On Jaguars, your daily Jacksonville Jaguars podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thank you and welcome to another edition of Locked On Jaguars. I am Tony Wiggins, the host of the Locked On Jaguars podcast, where it's your team every day, and we thank you for making us your first listen. Reminding you that you can also subscribe for free on our YouTube page at Locked On Jaguars on YouTube, and make sure you check us out daily to make sure that wherever you're getting your podcast, you do not miss an episode. This episode is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, official sportsbook of the NFL. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/lockedon today to get started. All right, we're going to talk about the Jaguars and their prospects for this year and some guys that they could get, especially with that 24th pick, since pass rush is their first. And it's not going to be a pass rusher that I'm mentioning, right? So I'm going to make a little correction on my podcast from yesterday. I meant what I meant, and I said what I said. Somebody told me, they said, my man Gonzalez, shout out to him, by the way, because I need to be more specific and more clear. Trevor Lawrence has to play 3 years before he actually signs a deal. Now, technically, they're supposed to be able to negotiate, or whether they're supposed to not even negotiate or discuss it until then. If y'all think that happens that way, I will give you, I'll sign a deed over to some swampland that I have down in Okeechobee, because that's not the way it happens. Now, it usually does happen that way because no one is willing to risk breaking rules. But let me just tell you how it works. If you see a situation where a guy on the first day that he's eligible to sign a contract and it's for $300 million, don't think for 1 minute that even if it's just in-house with their own legal, that the Jaguars have not started, or whatever team has not already started moving the pieces around in order to make that happen and to facilitate that. That's how on the first day of legal tampering, you get guys getting deals worth $100 million as if those agents hadn't talked to those teams, because they could be talking to them about something else. Nobody is involved in those meetings. The Jaguars mentally need to start preparing what they're going to do about Trevor Lawrence, because they're a draft and retain team. They're not going to be busy in free agency. They haven't been this year. And I'm going to tell you right now, they won't be next year, and they won't be the year after that. Because in segment three, I'm going to tell you all the guys that they have to re-sign within the next 2 or 3 years. And you're going to understand why they can't be busy in free agency in none of these years that are coming up, and why this year should have been the year. If they were going to do it, they probably should have taken a swipe at it. But nonetheless, they're going to need players from all throughout the draft, not just their first round pick, not just the day two guys who are second and thirds, but they need to hit on some of these late guys. They need to get guys who can absolutely play and not just be special teams players, actually make contributions for them in big games. I actually have a guest in my studio today. You ain't gonna see him. He's sitting off to the side. It's my man Jack. Jack is on TikTok. His name is Trevor's Hair on TikTok. So he's a big fan, and he was in my building, my facility today. He knew who I was. So I told him, just come in and sit down, man, and watch me do what I do. So we're glad to have him listening as a listener to Locked On Jaguars Plus, to peep in on the old man and make sure that I stay in line. Am I staying in line, Jack?
Yeah,
I'm staying in line. All right, good. All right, so if you watched the thumbnail, or if you saw the thumbnail, the first person that comes to mind for me in terms of the Jaguars is Darnell Wright. Because what I've been doing, the offensive tackle out of Tennessee, I don't know if he's going to be there. If you listen to some people, they think he's going in the top 15. I've been trying to look at names on various lists and come up with this sort of master list of people that I believe will be around when the Jaguars pick at 24. Then I'll do the same thing for 56. And then I'll keep going on and on and on and on with different guys. Doug Peterson has not left out the possibility that if it's an offensive lineman available, That's what they're going to do. They're going to take an offensive lineman. Best player available, it could be Osiris Torrance. It could be Broderick Jones. I really doubt that. Broderick might be there, but I don't think he's going to be there. I don't think Paris Johnson is going to be. I think those guys will be gone early. And they keep talking about the prospect of Walker Little moving inside. Here's what makes me think Walker Little wasn't as far along as all y'all thought he was, and including myself. If they know that Walker Little can play inside, or they believe he can kick inside the guard, when Ben Barch got hurt last year, why didn't they play Walker Little at left guard before Cam's injury? See, these are things that come up, and when I try to ask these questions and give out a list of the possibilities, I'll get somebody in the comments saying, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. You're just starting stuff. Okay, the last person that told me I was just starting stuff when I said that Chad Mumma was going to get more playing time said that I was a conspiracy theorist. And then the game came that Sunday, and Chad Mumma was the starting linebacker next to Foy Oluwakon. So a lot of this stuff just does not come from the hip. I mentioned the Calais Campbell deal yesterday, and I wondered out loud about four or five different times, like, why would he choose Atlanta? I even said maybe that's where he wants to live post-retirement. Maybe it was a family decision. Maybe it was something about their plan of a one-year deal that he liked more than. I didn't know what it was, but I still said that, look, I'm disappointed that they weren't able to get him, right? I was disappointed they weren't able to get Calais. The one thing I'm not disappointed about, though, is their focus on the NFL draft. The NFL draft is super, super, super important to every franchise, and it's what I believe these teams have to do in order to help themselves get better long term. I don't think, though, that you totally have to sacrifice free agency. I just know what's coming. And it, like I said, in segment three, I'm going to mention the names after I go to some prospects in segment two. I know what's coming in segment three. And what's coming in segment three is they're going to have a boat, especially if they are as successful as a team that I believe they can be. They're going to have a boatload of teams, a boatload of players that they have to re-sign. And they're not going to be able to just retain everybody. So we'll take a look at that. That's the problem with having all of your best players. They're guys that just got here 2 or 3 years ago, or a year or 2 years ago, because they're all going to be bunched together. Now, it's a good problem to have if you win a title, but it's a bad problem to have if you consistently just want to keep your name. So Darnell Wright, we brought his name up. We're going to bring it up a little bit more because I think he's a very, very good player who warrants his name being brought up a lot. However, one of the things that I do know is this. Guys in the draft, they fought guys, prognosticators and folks like me, you fall in love with one person. Darnell Wright was thought to be a third or fourth round pick until the offseason, and he won the offseason, and now he's in the first round. You'd think he was Tony Boselli the way people are talking about him, but not really. I don't think, you know, folks really think he's that, but there are people that don't believe that Darnell Wright would be around when the Jaguars pick. So discuss all of that here today on Locked On Jaguars. First, I have to let you know about FanDuel, man. FanDuel is America's best sports book, the number one sports book in America. And it's that way for a reason. And the reason is because they're just the best, right? You can get down with them right now because the Final Four is coming this week. And there's no place to get in on the action better than on FanDuel, because right now FanDuel is giving new customers a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. It's up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Just go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn and sign up today to claim your no-sweat first bet. Then you can wager on everything from the money line to point spreads to which team will be cutting down the net. All on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use, so don't miss your shot at a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 when you join FanDuel today. Just go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn to sign up. Make every moment more with FanDuel. And we're eternally grateful for you joining us here on Locked On Jaguars, making us your first listen because it's your team every day. Glad you guys join me, man. You keep me motivated. I appreciate the comments, too, whether it's on YouTube or wherever you get your podcast, I take those comments very seriously. The only time I get a little upset when somebody accuses me of saying something that I'm not saying. Gonzalez gave me a very, very good correction, and I probably should have been more specific with what I was saying. I was going on the juice of a very good conversation that I had with someone who's been in the NFL for 30 years. Technically, no, you're not supposed to talk to people early, but it happens, right? So sometimes the look behind the veil a little bit, I have to make sure that people understand I'm not talking about the rules per se. I'm just talking about what it is that people seem to always do. However, you can't go wrong with the draft. At least the Jaguars for the last couple of years in early rounds have not gone wrong. They have hit home runs. In fact, I was just telling somebody this morning, isn't it ironic that the best draft they've had in a long time, even if you take Trevor Lawrence out, it's the one where Urban Meyer was the coach. It's not a good thing, because maybe we want to say that Trent Baalke had a lot more to do with that, and we hope that that's the case. However, this year they're picking different, and it's a little bit of a different space for the Jaguars, where I think it was like 9 out of 10 years they picked in the top 10. It's not this year. They're picking at 24. And at 24, they're going to be sitting and waiting for something to fall to them. Now, a lot of people have said that the Jaguars might move up in the draft. Trent even said, if there's somebody up there that we think we can go get, we'll move up a little bit and go get them. However, the more I look at these boards, and I know the board really won't go on draft night the way that these mocks are going. I've learned my lesson from that. Everybody knows everything that everybody says is going to happen in a mock, none of that stuff really happens on draft night. And we're all surprised and we're all looking around trying to say and scramble and say, well, I kind of knew that. I feel good when I can get one late pick, when I can get one and just put him with that team. And I'll never forget. I did that years ago. I hit the last three. It was a contest they had in the newspaper. And I went in and I hit the last three picks, all because I tied those picks to those teams. And it was a match made in heaven. And my grand total was 8. I got 8 right out of 32. All right. So it's not easy to do. Once a guy that you have slotted to go 24th, once he goes 10th, it throws everything else. Every pick you get wrong, that's 2 you got wrong. You understand that concept? Every pick that you get wrong, you got 2, because if you had player X going to this team and he goes somewhere else, well, that means you got that other one wrong too. It's very, very difficult to do. So I've tried to look at every credible big board I can to try to see the 10 or 12 players that are going to be grouped together. Darnell Wright is one of them. I only saw one draft or one big board or one mock draft where Darnell Wright out of Tennessee, all 6'5", 333 pounds, where he was not there and available for the Jacksonville Jaguars. And even the big board that I'm looking at right now has him rated as the 70th best player. I don't think there are 69 better prospects than Darnell Wright, but he's a very good player. If you're looking at other offensive linemen or defensive linemen, there's a guy called Siaki Ika. He plays at Baylor, and he's a defensive tackle. He's 6'3", 335 pounds. If they're going to be forward thinking, I think that big body makes sense. That if they don't believe that they are going to be in a situation to do anything for Devon Hamilton, because that's another situation of a guy going into his fourth season and there's no fifth year option on him because he was a third round pick. Sometimes forward thinking, I think Devon Hamilton demands huge money and the franchise tag is real, real big for a guy at his position. So either get something done early or they're going to be looking for another big body next year. Guys like Julius Brents that have these long arms, I've been looking at as a second round pick. Julius Brents at 6'3", 198. I keep trying to imagine guys on the opposite side of Tyson Campbell. Now, I know Brents isn't a slot guy, right? So everybody wants a slot guy first, or a guy who can play the slot and eventually go outside and play the nickel. Look, I get it, all right? You're talking about a guy like Trevius Hodges-Tomlinson out of TCU, 5'8", 178, real, real scrappy. We've talked in the past about having two guys that are that small on the same side of the field on defense outside. And that's pretty what you would get if you got him instead of Darius Williamson. I've talked about Sidney Brown, another day two-ish player who pops on tape. He's 5'10", 211 pounds. I just think he's an instinctive football player. He's built like Bob Sanders, but he doesn't play the sort of safety Bob Sanders plays. He's really a guy that just finds himself around the ball an awful lot. If the, it's true that Devin Lloyd is going to play a little bit more outside and play a little bit more of an end position, I wouldn't be surprised if he's still there that the Jaguars don't consider Jack Campbell or Drew Sanders in round two. Why not? What about Matthew Bergeron out of Syracuse? 6'5", 318 pounds, can play right or left tackle. That's that versatility that this team talks about. And I don't know if he'd come in as a swing tackle right away. Maybe he pushes people in and Walker Little can play guard. Walker goes to left guard. And then how healthy is Cam Robinson? We just don't know. A lot of these names that you can mention for second day action, what about that first pick? What about other guys other than Darnell Robinson? Well, of course, we keep talking about the McDonald kid. I don't think he's going to be available. The edge rusher out of Iowa State, I believe that he has done so well in this draft process, he just ain't going to be there. If they're going to get a rush, it's probably going to have to come from somebody like B.J. Ojulari or my man Felix out of Kansas State, somewhere like that. But they've made it a priority. They have to improve their pass rush. Could it be Keon White, who might be a little bit of a duplicate, if you will, of Trayvon Walker? The most important thing we have to realize is they're just going to have to get improvement from Trayvon Walker, maybe year two in this defense with Brenton, Buckner, Coach Buckner, and all of those other guys. Maybe they figure out a way to get the best out of all of these guys. Now, I'm going to name some players in segment three. It's going to blow your mind how many guys over the next 2 or 3 years the Jaguars have to re-sign, which is why this whole idea of drafting and retaining, unless they start signing some guys early, you can't re-sign everybody in the same year because all the guaranteed money has to go up in escrow, and that's hard for a lot of teams to do. We'll talk about that in just a second here on Locked On Jaguars. All right, third and final segment here on Locked On Jaguars. We thank you for making us your first listen. It's your team every day here on Locked On Jaguars. The part that I want to let you know about before we get into all of these prospects, now I'm naming them, but if you really want to know who most of these guys are, make sure you tap in and make your second listen Locked On NFL Scouting. Locked On NFL Scouting is the flat out truth. My man Kyle Krabs and my buddy Joe Marino, man, the draft dudes, You don't get any more comprehensive scouting, team-building information than you do from those guys. Make sure you tap in wherever you get your podcast. Follow them on the YouTube. It's Monday through Friday. It's every single day, and they're part of the Locked On Podcast Network. So I told you I was going to go through the guys the Jaguars have to re-sign in the next 2 or 3 years. Trevor Lawrence, I think, has to get done between year three, year four. Start preparing for it at the end of this year. Know what the parameters are. Understand you should start hearing some rumblings and grumblings that, hey, the Jags are going to try to get something done with Trevor. You should hear that at the end of this year, that they're going to try to get something done with Trevor after year three. And as soon as the league year or as soon as they're available, get something done with him to try to do it early. 9 times out of 10, his agent ain't going to bite for it. He's going to let him play another year and let that thing build up and let Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert and Tua and all of those guys get their money. By then, Jalen Hurts would have had to come up because there is no fifth-year option. So there's something that needs to be discussed with Jalen Hurts as well. And see where this all goes. There's no benefit for you to rush it because Trevor's going to get paid anyway. However, the Jaguars have to start moving like they know that they're going to have to do something, because in the same draft that they had Trevor, they have Travis Etienne. That's fifth-year option. That's a running back, right? You can settle that. By that time, they will either get to the second or third year of Cam Robinson's extension. Some people think he's just going to play one more year and be gone anyway. Okay, that's fine. Guess who was also chosen in the same draft as Trevor, who doesn't have a fifth-year option? Walker Little, who we just keep talking about. And if he is as good as y'all think he is, guess what that means? They got to pay him a boatload of money. How about this? You want to hear a $100 million guy? If Tyson Campbell keeps playing the way that he's playing, you don't think for 1 minute the Jags are going to have to give him a huge contract or franchise tag him? Yes, they are. What about Andre Sisco? You know how hard it is to find free safeties that move like that? Look at Jesse Bates' contract. He didn't stay with the team, him or Von Bell. Cincinnati lost both of them because they know they're anticipating having to pay T. Higgins, Joe Burrow, and Ja'Marr Chase. So they get it. And they understand that, right? Devon Hamilton, somebody that I mentioned earlier, going to get a big deal. You look at some of the defensive tackle deals around the country and around the league, Devon Hamilton is going to get a massive contract. What about, Josh Allen? He's due up next year. What do? How many franchise tags do you have, man? You got one. You don't think Christian Kirk's deal is going to need to be redone in the next 2 or 3 years? What about Calvin Ridley, who has one year left on his deal? There's a lot that has to be done. It would behoove the Jaguars to not try to do it all at the same time. You just think about all of the people. Foye Oluwakan signed a 3-year deal. All right, he's in year 2 this year. He's a guy that's going to come up within the next 2 years. You see where I'm going? There's a lot of people that have to be re-signed, which means they won't be able to keep them all, but hopefully they'll be winning, right? That is what makes this draft so important, not just in day 1 and day 2, but day 3. They need to hit on some picks. They need to do what the Chiefs did for 2 straight years, fix their O-line 1 year, fix their secondary the next year, and also get some pretty good players like Pacheco that helped them out. The Jags need to do the same thing, because if you get to that point where you have to replace everyone and you don't have a replacement in-house and you can't re-sign everyone, that could be a disaster. I know y'all don't want to hear about the future, but you absolutely have to think about the future. That's why I wanted them to get busy in free agency this year, because at some point that stuff cuts off. And don't tell me they have no money, because Philly had money and they got it done. Make sure you get it done here with me every day on Locked On Jaguars, your daily Jacksonville Jaguars podcast, where it's your team every day. We thank you for making us your first listen. We thank you for kicking it around with us. We'll have more tomorrow, and pretty soon we'll have some more folks on here to tell you about some of these draft picks. Make sure you drop something in the comment section for me, and I'll be glad to answer it as soon as I can. For Tony Wiggins and my man, what's your name again?
Jack.
Jack. Take care. We'll see you tomorrow here on Locked On Jaguars.